Next on Speak Up.
It has been 26 years that my father shot himself in the head.
Wow.
And I had vowed that I would never, ever shut up about it. Mm-hmm. It has been 26 years that I have been outspoken about.
It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's what we have to control.
The World Health Organization reports that every year, 1 million people die by their own hands. That is one death every 40 seconds. Now, in the U.S., twice as many people die by suicide than by homicide. It is, in fact, now among the three leading causes of death among those who are 15 and 44 years old in some countries. For many people, talking about such issues is very, very difficult. And they may not know how to start a conversation about this. That is why we are here to speak up about suicide and how to prevent it. So who is going to speak up? This is a very, very tough topic to talk
very
about.
Very challenging. Yes.
It has been 26 years that my father shot himself in the head.
Wow.
And I had vowed that I would never, ever shut up about it. Mm-hmm. It has been 26 years that I have been outspoken about suicide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I don't feel it. Mm-hmm. I deal with it every single day. And even though it's totally against my personality in the way of being sad, I make a point every day to remember that he has killed himself. Mm-hmm. And why? Not because I want to suffer about and dwell on it, but because I feel the call, a divine call to make people aware that suicide can happen to your loved one.
To anyone.
It will somehow, one way or another, affect you. It's either a friend of a friend, a family,
somebody,
and
I think
work,
at church.
Right. Yeah. When I was, we graduated high school, and I think it was the year after high school, I went to my friend's funeral. But I went to the funeral not knowing how he passed. It was like no one said anything about what happened.
Hush, hush.
So
let's
I'm
not
wondering,
talk about what happened. Yeah.
Did he have some kind of illness? Was it sudden? And then, like, 4 years later, a friend was like, look, the truth is, he committed suicide.
Well, I want to say, Jussara, we really, you have a lot of courage.
Absolutely.
And, you know, thank God that you're doing this, because there are people today, perhaps in the audience here, who are going through that same situation where your dad was, making that decision, is it worth living? And sometimes they may not even realize what happens, like you as a daughter, how that impacted
the feeling,
your life.
Have any of the family have seen, like, any signs that he was depressed or anything?
Would you have ever guessed that he
would do that? That he was going to do that?
Oh, evidently, growing up, I was not in tune with signs and symptoms.
How old are you?
When he committed suicide, I was already an adult expecting my third baby.
So
I was here in America. He was back in Brazil. But growing up, he presented many signs and symptoms, but I was not attuned to it.
Was he depressed?
My mother, yes, he was depressed.
See, I ask because a lot of people that commit suicide, they have some mental illness. Sometimes they're depression or anxiety.
Well, I have no doubt. As a matter of fact, my mother, who was a psych nurse, told us, he talked about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, he told her he was.
Throughout his life, he mentioned that he wanted to get away from it. Wanted to end it all. But I never thought he would do it.
You didn't take it seriously, right?
I guess the truth is, sometimes when we hear our friends or loved ones or colleagues say stuff like that, you're thinking they're just going through a rough patch.
Yeah.
You know, it's situational as opposed to it being internal and real to them.
And sometimes we're afraid to ask, are you really serious about this?
Because we're afraid that they might get offended, because what if they're not really, like, they're just sad and not really thinking of committing
that far.
Like, yeah. Right, that far.
Boy, how things have changed, though. Well, they have in a way, and they haven't in another way. But as a healthcare provider now, every single patient that comes into the hospital, it's not only because it's
people
part
are
of the,
told to ask
yeah,
that.
But it's not only
not
because
only
quality
healthcare,
measures.
Not only though. I mean, that's great. But like, for instance, you work with teens, Erica, and teens are also going through that. We, even though you're not a health provider, you have to be able to be proactive.
Right.
Do you see that opportunity with the girls?
I do, but all I can do is share my own story with them. My story of depression, while I would never say that I had thoughts of taking my own life, there were questions running through my head about what if I wasn't here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would life be like?
Would people
my family
notice
go,
me?
You start wondering, would it be better if I just wasn't here anymore? Mm-hmm. And so I share that with them and try to give them a sense of hope that somebody cares. Yeah. Somebody would notice and know that you were gone and miss you terribly.
Right.
Yeah.
Had
all
I known then what I know now, evidently I would have taken steps to take care of. But there's also the stigma. When I tell people that my father committed suicide, some people, they just don't know
what to say.
And when that happened, I had spiritual support, but I had two different approaches. One is like, we're praying for you. And God is merciful. Maybe
did that
he
help?
Will
did
understand.
Did you get mad when they said that?
Maybe God will understand. So meaning that, your father probably will not be happy. People are afraid. That's the issue. They don't know what to say.
Maybe he's not going to make it to heaven.
Right.
Or,
but then
our pastor, dear Pastor Sarli,
he told me, look, your father was sick.
Yeah.
You know, how can God hold that against, you know, someone who is so sick? And I held on to that because even though I never believed that God would, be a tyrant to hold that against someone who's not thinking well, that was comfort me. And I said,
to know that somebody understood.
I am going to talk about it so people can become aware and it can happen to anyone.
So if you're at home watching this and you have a family, somebody you love that perhaps is going through some of those symptoms, talking about these issues, be aware, be focused, and try to show care.
Compassion.
And ask questions, right? Because we are afraid to say, are you really serious? Is this something that you have a plan or really, you know, open up? Because sometimes we think people won't want to talk about it, but they will.
But I think the issue is to you have to establish a trust with an individual.
That's true,
because I don't think I'm not going to tell you if I don't know you. Like, I wouldn't tell you that I'm going to, in a few minutes, I'm going to pull, I'm going to commit suicide.
Well, you might, but you might.
Someone
might be at a place of desperation so bad
that they want somebody to notice. Well, let me tell you what. We have with us today a guest that will help answer some of our questions. Our guest today is Dr. Marisa Leslie. She's a psychiatrist. She deals with this every day in her practice, and we are very happy that she's here. Dr. Marisa, thank you for being with us. You heard our conversation.
I did.
Many people. How common is this? I mean, sometimes we say, this doesn't happen among people of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, they have faith in God. They would never take their life. Mm-hmm. What do you see in your own practice?
Well, I'll say the two people I know who have committed suicide were both in the church. And it really broke my heart. One of them was a sibling of a classmate. Mm. And, everyone thought, perfect life, really attractive, really smart. And no one really knew
what was going on
in his head. And the other one, we knew that there was some trouble, but it really just shocked me when I heard that my childhood friend had committed suicide. So it is common.
So you know from a personal level as well.
I do.
That among people of faith, this does happen. It doesn't mean that they don't have faith in God. It's just an illness, part of the illness.
It's a brain disease.
We do want to ask you more about that. Don't go away. We'll be right back. My friends from Speak Up will be here, and we'll ask lots of questions to Dr. Leslie on this issue. So if you are there in your couch at home and you maybe are feeling sad and maybe thinking about committing suicide or just leaving this world, there's hope for you. And we'll talk about it in just a few minutes. Stay cool. We're speaking up today about suicide and how to prevent it. And psychiatrist Dr. Marisa Leslie is here helping answer our questions today. Now, we were talking about that this is common. Suicide can happen among people of faith. Now, what are some of the risk factors for suicide, Dr. Leslie?
So the statistics tell us that 90% of people who commit suicide have either a mental illness or substance abuse.
So that's in the case of Josara's father, he had depression. That makes sense.
Yes. so it's very common if you're depressed to commit suicide, or if you've been abusing drugs, even though you may not have been struggling with depression, it can induce depression and induce impulsive suicidal thoughts. So, I mean, those are the common risk factors. Economic stress.
Oh, that too.
Severe economic
stress. Yeah, so people in poverty or who are actually going through financial crisis.
Right. Lost a job.
Yeah. Lost
actually,
a job.
People with a lot of money, mm-hmm. not only
true.
Poverty.
That's true.
I've even like talked to somebody about getting passed up for like promotion. So he took it upon himself, like he felt probably inadequate, that maybe I'm not good enough, but I tried so hard, and yet I've been passed up for promotion. What is that? So he.
That sense of rejection.
Uh-huh. And for a male, that is so important in terms of their identity, the job, you know, being a provider,
In the news, there's been a lot of stories of individuals who may have lost a job or for whatever reason are unable to provide and have drowned their children in the bathtub and then shot themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. So they take themselves out as well as the rest of the family.
Can you I have such a hard time grasping that.
A loving going father.
Through, yeah,
how they can
I mean,
do
going
that.
Through my own depression, I can understand individually why you're thinking, I just don't want to feel this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that connection between feeling that way and then
like
hurting the people that you love?
One word: hopelessness. Just not seeing the end of this, you know, terrible
this
situation,
cycle.
This desperation.
Maybe they don't want the children to suffer because they want to, you know, kill themselves. But say, what my kids are going to do?
Sometimes
and they
it's
think
impulsive.
It's
an impulsive act, and they think, I just can't see beyond this terrible situation.
So or I'm if I'm not good enough, then who's going to be able to help them?
Right.
If I'm gone, so they kind of rationale, perhaps?
Rationalize it
perhaps.
With a crooked thinking, like they're distorted.
But honestly, it's because there is so much stigma. Things have changed, but still there are a lot of stigma. Mm-hmm. Can you explain to us just a little bit how mental illness, the physiology of mental illness, and why an individual come to that point of going against nature and taking their own life.
Because there are so many people out there, and I was one of them before I went through my own depression. Mm. My feeling about people who took their own lives was how selfish.
Right. Mm. Or how weak.
Or how weak.
Right?
How weak.
And now that I've been there, that perception has changed, but I think that's the other part of that question is, how do you do that to the people that you're leaving behind?
Right. It's not a selfish act. It's a desperate act.
Desperate. Mm.
And when you look at the brain and you look at blood flow, the brain of a depressed person has less blood flow than that of a non-depressed person.
So they think they are not thinking clearly because
they're
of
not
that,
thinking clearly, and it's hard to think clearly because your brain is actually different, just like your brain is different when you take drugs.
So what's their I guess they're out or their hope. What's going to work for them if the blood flow thing is less and
well, there is hope. You know, I mean, there is hope that there certainly is therapy. Therapy can actually change the way the blood flows, and I don't want to simplify it. It's not just a blood flow thing, but that's just evidence that there's something going on in the brain.
And the medications then for treating the underlying mental illness will
absolutely
remove
help.
Some of those suicidal ideations.
Exercise helps, but the one thing to remember, and please don't ever say this to someone who's severely depressed or suicidal, they may not feel better that moment. They may not feel better the next day.
Right.
It's just, I'm here with you, and eventually I have hope that this can get better, and it usually does for most people. It usually does.
Sometimes, that's very painful moment that they're in, they don't see a way out, but it will pass.
It will pass.
And we can encourage people. I was going to say that, so what are some of the things we can do or say for somebody in that situation. Because actually there might be somebody right now listening to our conversation and saying, you know, I feel like Erica, you know, I identify right. with you. So how can we help them? What but, words of
Katya,
hope?
Before you go further, uh-huh. I just want to like backtrack a little bit. How do we see people that are struggling with depression? Like you said, an experience you said that she had a perfect life. You didn't even know, like, you didn't know that she was struggling deep inside. How would you be, like, you know, like, in our church family or within, like, our circle of friends, how would you know, what were the signs that would show that, mm-hmm. okay, she's struggling and I need to be there for that person?
Right. So there are usually signs, even people who try to put on a mask, and that's what happens. They put on a mask, they think, oh, well, if I just live this perfect life, maybe I'll feel better until mm-hmm. they don't feel better. So I think you look for changes, right? So even if someone is smiling and telling you, oh, no, I'm fine,
right?
Are they spending less time with family and friends? Mm. Are they isolating, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Are they not talking about future plans? Or, oh, you know, it doesn't matter, and what does it matter? Do they have low self-esteem in subtle ways? Are they constantly criticizing themselves? Nah. And hope, really, that loss of hope, that sense of hopelessness is a huge, huge mm-hmm. sign. But I think just making it okay to not be okay is one thing that we can do.
Yeah, accept people, even though they're not as lively. I mean, right. In my practice, I would have moms coming in with their teenage daughters and saying, you know, I need to talk with you. She doesn't want to have friends. She doesn't right. want to mm-hmm. be with her friends. She is very quiet. Mm-hmm. She wants to be in her room by herself.
And I would add, and there's nothing to be sad about. Why are you sad, right? That yeah. really minimizes yeah. the experience of
suffering. Exactly. Yeah, why are you sad?
Why are you sad? You have friends. We love you. We right. have yeah. money. We have God. Just don't minimize.
Because if you're sick, you don't see it. That. That's uh-huh. exactly what the problem right. lies. You don't yeah. you don't feel that you're loved. Right. You don't feel that you are understood. Mm-hmm. So your perception of your reality is totally
different.
Reality.
It's
like if uh-huh. somebody yeah. asks or presents that, there's no reason to be sad. See, nobody understands.
Right. right. Yes, exactly. Nobody That's why understands. I don't, I won't. Won't
That's why I don't want to be here, because no one understands.
Right. It's like now, telling someone with the flu,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
why are you laying in bed when there's so much to do?
to do.
Your body feels terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a chemical issue. We have to understand there's, like you said, the blood flow and also the chemistry in the brain that is creating that. Now, going back to my question before Llewellyn
right,
took us back to a very important aspect, how can we help people that perhaps are watching and say, yeah, I do have all those symptoms, mm-hmm. and but, you know, I don't know. I don't see any hope. What can we do besides embracing people, as we just mm-hmm. said? Is it helpful to ask them?
Yes.
And to directly, can you talk about that?
Ask directly, especially if you have a relationship. Say, are you okay? I'm just worried about you. Have you thought about ending it all? Have you thought about taking your life? It will jolt them. It will mm-hmm. make them think, well, wow, this wow. isn't an abnormal thought. People mm. have these thoughts.
Right. Uh-huh. And I can talk about them.
And yeah. I can talk about them. And the beautiful mm-hmm. thing is that faith is actually protective.
Oh, yeah,
and
tell us
study
about that.
After study after study has shown that religion is actually protective, even though sometimes we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It does give that person a sense of hope when you think, mm-hmm. you know what, maybe God can help me through this. Mm-hmm. It can give them a sense of hope. So mm-hmm. I think our faith communities are natural sources of protection.
Mm-hmm.
If we say, someone says, no, I just don't feel like going out. Oh, come on, I'll pick you up. Let's go. I'll be there with you. And I know mm-hmm. it's tough, but maybe you might enjoy it. You know, try to get them out of the house. Try to keep them from isolating.
So it's okay to try to encourage
yes.
them, even
yes.
though gently.
Gently.
Not judging them.
Of course
but
not.
Saying, you know,
so
let's do this.
So it is a multidimensional approach.
Yes.
It's the spirit, mm-hmm. so your spiritual family. It's the health, the physiological part, mm-hmm. so your providers, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And your physical part, because as you exercise, you're yes. also producing those endorphins,
happy
that
hormone.
Chemistry happy that will help yeah. cope with
right.
it.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, I think this is, you know, if I...
That's very, 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 very good. If you have to look at, particularly at the last point you made in terms of faith, I think we have to add the aspect of coping,
right.
looking at God for hope, mm-hmm. Because I've seen also that that has been what kept some people from keeping,
yes.
even though they were feeling terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dr. Leslie,
You're
for
welcome.
Being here. It was very helpful to help answer some of these questions. And you are watching us at home and you want to know more about this. Well, go to our website. There you will find our Speak Up notes that talk about suicide prevention, how to find the resources, and also you can share this with your friends and your family. There's more to come, though, in the next segment. We will speak about what the Bible has to say on this topic. We are speaking up today about suicide prevention. And ladies, we had a wonderful conversation with Dr. Leslie. What have we learned from that?
I've learned that we have to be in tune with each other. You know, like, not just being there in church. You know, when we, like, as church family, we have to be in tune with our brothers and sisters, because a lot of times we just go there and do our part. Like, we have a part in certain ministries, but we forget that we also have a part in our fellow church members.
Yeah, we don't stop to look and see how people are feeling.
Exactly.
To me, it's urgency. Mm-hmm. Urgency, urgency. You only have, it might be that you will only have those minutes with that person that really needs you at that moment.
Right.
So if you pick up something
that's
say something,
not right.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think also making sure we don't minimize the fact that this is just simply hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just hard.
It's painful.
Yeah, it's
painful. I mean, sometimes they say, oh, no, it's just here. But they're feeling a pain, an emotional,
exactly.
Heavy burden.
It's like we have to be very sensitive to the fact that it's hard. So if someone doesn't outright say exactly all that's going on, we can't just back away, but we have to be there and be present for them.
And not to minimize the spiritual approach. This is really, but it's. I want to emphasize the integration of multiple approaches.
Right. Yes.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, you definitely, since this is a physiological issue, you can not only pray your depression away.
You need to seek medical advice.
Yep. Right.
There are medications that can be very helpful to reduce the symptoms. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that all too well. I had to go through that. It took multi approaches to get me well and to get me feeling like myself again.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I didn't go through it for nothing, because now on the other side, I'm not judgmental about
that's
it.
Right.
I know now. This is not a selfish
You've been
thing.
Through
where it's like,
it.
Whatever comes after, that's their problem. I just want out. It's not about that.
Right.
You're not yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there might be girls right now that are actually, or young adults that are here listening to this conversation, saying, I don't know if it applies to me. Both Novella and you ministered to them. What words of hope do you have for them?
Well, I want to say to them that 2 years ago when I was going through that, when I look back at my life at that time, there are parts of it where I can look back and say, yeah, I didn't have a lot going on for me at that time, right? So let me just take myself out of the picture so I don't have to feel this way.
Right.
I would have missed out on so
absolutely
much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
2 years later, I'm standing
like
here.
A new life.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
don't
so
give
this
up.
This will pass.
Absolutely it will.
Yeah.
It will pass. You will get through it. And on the other side, there is so much waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while the person is going through it, they don't see this light at the end of the tunnel. But it is there. Sometimes you have to just tell yourself, and we can help them on this, and say, you know, even though we don't feel it, it will come. And that actually does impact your chemicals in your brain. It does help change a bit, along with the medication, some of these other
things. Yeah, the education piece is so important, because like Dr. Leslie said, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
So we need to warn them. Sometimes it's even in the euphoric phase that they're feeling a little better. Mm-hmm. That's exactly when they plan the way that they're going to commit suicide.
Yeah,
right. You
they're having
right
energy
of mind.
At that point.
So don't be fooled by a high.
Right, exactly. Those very few, first few weeks that they are in treatment, they get, you know, just enough energy to get themselves back together, but that doesn't mean that they are out of the woods.
They're getting better.
So we've got to be vigilant.
Continue.
With
and ask. She mentioned it. Don't be afraid of asking. How are you feeling? Are you planning this? And then say, I can go with you, talk to somebody that can help.
Or even like just by staying with them, because a lot of times people are probably not ready to like talk about their feelings, express their whatever they're planning to do, and just being beside them will just
knowing
give them,
you're there gives them that openness.
Yeah,
now,
but
Novella,
remember the urgency. Remember the urgency.
Yes.
You don't have time. You don't have time.
Yeah,
sometimes,
you don't. Sometimes you say, and then it's helpful, but do it right then. Mm-hmm. Novella, you have been looking at
absolutely
words of wisdom and hope that come
absolutely
from the Bible. What is the Bible speaking out?
God is so faithful in that Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Yes.
Plans to give you hope and a future."
That's beautiful.
The word future says that there is so much more worth fighting for in this life than what's just happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the things that are happening with us are just right now. Mm-hmm. It's just for the moment. It's like climbing a stair. Sometimes you just have to put one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. And so we know that life isn't always easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just hard. We can't minimize that. Sometimes it's just hard. Yeah. But there is so much more worth fighting for, not just from our view, but from a God view. And when God has a view, there's
no limit to that. He will never let you go through something. If that's the one thing I took away, he will never let you go through something like that without bringing good on the other.
That's
the fact that I can
you
stand in front of
stronger.
These. Absolutely.
That's right.
I can stand in front of these shoals now and say, I've been there.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Because God had a plan for you. He declared it, and here you are today.
I love that text. It gives
God
hope to all of us.
Amen.
And to those of you who are watching, we hope that that gives hope to you as well. We have learned today a lot about suicide, but not all. There's much more to talk about. And we have resources for you on that. But this is a public health issue. It's a top killer. And it's something that we must talk about. We also learned that people who have mental illness or use drugs and alcohol are more at risk, and they may be considering suicide. So be close. Take the time to notice people around you and ask them if you see that there's not something not right with that. The good news is suicide can be prevented. We have a role to play on that. Remember, visit our website for many more resources. You can download our Speak Up notes on suicide. And share those notes with the loved ones around you. Maybe you can use it for yourself as well. And more importantly, if you need prayer, don't hesitate. Give us a call. We have prayer partners there waiting to pray for you. And we'll see you next time to speak up on other important issues for your whole health and happiness.